Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Now, I don't know if you can see it yet, but we're only a little ways through this. If I was able to see the truth of what I've just said, if you could see the truth of it, and that here I am, I've been thinking about someone my whole life. I've not been able to let go of what he did or didn't do, what she gave me or what she took away from me. My own parents, maybe. My children. And every time that the events permit or associations take place and I start to feel the pain or the resentment, the grief or the stress, whatever it is, if I was able to see in the moment that what I'm beginning to blame you for, again, my inability to forgive you, has to do not so much with what you really were, but with what I made out of you and then drew out of that bank, then I would begin to have the grounds for letting go, wouldn't I? Because I'd realize that the negative state was unfounded. It was unfounded. My certainty about your inability to be a good person had nothing to do with who you really were, but rather with who I invented you to be so that I could be who I imagined myself to be. And that's a marvelous discovery to make. Because there's, for the first time, compassion is possible, for one thing. I've held you to a standard that you couldn't possibly have lived up to because it was my imagination about you. You were what you were. I made you into something long before you even had a chance to show, just by the sheer wear and tear of a relationship, that you weren't Prince Charming or that you weren't Queen Elizabeth or whoever it was that you wanted to be with. You make your choices. I don't know. So we reach a point where I start to see that I got mad at you and I continue to keep this anger or resentment going. Because, not because of what you have been or were, but because you pulled the curtains back. You showed the system to be a fraudulent system. Meaning, when you did what you did, the last thing I want to see about myself is that I was living from an idea, from images. And that my anger towards you has nothing to do with what you did, but that I have lost the sense of myself that I took from that. And that's my fear, and out of the fear comes hatred. Out of the fear comes resentment. Where do you think these darker states come from? They come not from the condition itself, but from a certain level of attachment to it. And the attachment is not to the person, it's to the sense of self that was derived from the person. And the sense of self that was derived from the person wasn't the person that we were with, but the image we built of them so that we could be who we were in our own hearts and minds. Do you see it? It's kind of like a house of cards. And when one thing starts to shake, the whole house starts to shake, and we say, "Stop shaking the house, man, and I built it." And not even I built it. We've talked about that. This nature builds it. Now, take a deep breath, because we're just getting started. Now, the beauty of that, if we can see it, has another implication. Something that's even more important relative to ourselves. How many of you would you say, without having to think about it too deeply, constantly come up short in your own eyes? Raise your hands. I mean, look, there are days when we're giants, but they're always accidental. You know, think about how fragile it is if our whole sense of self depends on a good hair day. And ladies, I don't know what goes on with you. I love that joke. The exact same principle holds true when it comes to being unable to live up to what we imagine others want us to be. When we imagine what others want us to be. What a debt. Good God, man. What a trail of tears it is to continue living from something inside of ourselves by which we are always judging ourselves for being unable to amount to whatever it is. Now listen, that we have imagined ourselves to be. We run in debt to our own imagined nature. Think what I'm saying to you. All right, how many of you have ever been at a table with people and said what you thought was the most witty, intelligent, spiritual thing that could come out of a person's mouth, and you put it out and it just falls as flat as an old pancake on the table. And you're sitting there looking like, which is part of the embarrassment, you're waiting for people to go, oh, wow. And they just keep talking like you didn't say anything. Well, don't you immediately know there's something wrong with everyone at the table? Yes or no? And you immediately judge yourself. You leap on yourself with both feet. Yes or no? I do. Why? Stupid. That was a stupid. Oh, I liked it. And this is in the mind. That was stupid. Stupid thing to say. What a stupid thing to say. You're a stupid person. Now people know you're a stupid. Stupid person. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And your brain starts to talk to you. So I'm never going to open my mouth again. That's it. No more. And everybody's carrying on a conversation, and then they say, how about you? And you've been in this other conversation with yourself, and you have no clue. You go, yeah. Oh, thanks. I needed the $100. Can you imagine a person that runs in debt to himself and who can't forgive himself? Who can't forgive himself, can't forgive herself. Listen, first of all, let me explain something to you. It's right to want to be right. It's right to want to be a loving human being. That's a right wish. It's right to want to be strong. It's right. It's right to want to be there for other people. It's right. Where it becomes wrong is when we imagine who that person is. Because the minute we imagine ourselves as being right, as being strong, as being loving, as being kind, as soon as a sense of self is vested in an image, we run forever in debt to that image because life will continue to show us that we are not what we've imagined ourselves to be. And it is critical to see that we are not what we've imagined ourselves to be, because it's the process of that very storm where life presents the truth to ourselves about our present limitations that allows us to transcend the imagined nature. That shows us the inherent limitation in our imagination. Our hopes must be in things unseen, not in things seen. What we imagine is seen. What is unseen is what takes place in the moment where what we have imagined, if we allow it to be undone, and then increasingly to refuse to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, so that the unseen force that revealed this conspiracy within ourselves that we were running in debt to can then begin to make of us what it always has intended us for us to be, which is not borrowers, not running in debt. And I want to put this thought in here because it's critical. And the reason that human beings run in physical debt, that they spend more money than they earn, is because they're trying to keep the image of themselves alive. An image that isn't even their own image. a socio-culture phenomena based on a certain amount of time where a person believes that their degree of freedom is relative to the possessions and powers that they can seem to present to others. So this debt is rampant. It runs across, and we can actually see it destroying the world, but it begins within each and every one of us. We can learn to see, you know what? I'm running in debt. If you ever sit and feel bad about yourself over something that you did to someone, it isn't that you didn't do it, but that the pain that you are identified with, by which the mind is then trying to resolve. Have you ever tried to build yourself back up after you do something wrong? Isn't that what we do? I do something wrong, now I'm going to make amends. What are we doing when we're making amends other than trying to somehow to pay the debt that just became evident that we couldn't pay? I couldn't be what I wanted to be in that moment. I couldn't be it. Now, do you understand that if I go back and reconstruct myself, come up with a new image of how I can be that, and then explain to myself why I wasn't like that, what am I doing other than putting in place the very same thing that will happen the next time to me? Instead of doing what? Seeing that I've been very foolish to try to carry around and act from this idea that I have of myself. No wonder I can't forgive myself. I've made myself God in my own eyes. I've made myself God in my own eyes. Well, only God is infallible. Only God doesn't make mistakes. Only God doesn't need correction. And surely when I fall down, when I can't be what I've imagined myself to be, surely the harshness with which I treat myself and anyone else that falls like that must prove that I'm an almighty being. And then rather than see what's been created in me that's living my life for me, I'll just go back and recreate it again. I'll just find another way to prove to myself that I was what I took myself to be, even though I can't pay for it.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks 4 times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
Now, the true beauty in what I'm describing to you is that when I start to be harsh on myself, I can understand that all that's taken place is that the bill collector came. The bill collector came. Look, I hope this is being put together in your mind properly. Why am I harsh on myself? I couldn't live up to what I said I had. I let myself down. Can I let myself down? Is it possible to let myself down without first, one way or another, having a sense about myself that I should be better than that? And if I should be better than that, from where am I drawing that idea about myself other than an image? Other than an image. So learning to let go, seeing the truth of this, starts a process of forgiveness inside of ourselves. Not the phony baloney, I can't stand that when you hear people talk about, I forgave myself. Really, one day you'll see, you know, if you've forgiven yourself, so to speak, why are you still the wreck? Not only why are you still the wreck, but did it ever occur to you that it's not your place to forgive yourself? I mean, that doesn't occur to us. Forgiveness, the true forgiveness is when a human being has finally understood. Now we're going to go back. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This daily bread referred to a transubstantial substance, an energy, a will. And that energy, that will, doesn't need to create images in order to be fulfilled, to satisfy itself. We feast on imaginary selves. When we can begin to see how this thing has taken place of us, where I've paid myself in advance for borrowing something I imagined about myself. When I can actually start to see it, I paid myself in advance. And then realize, well, this is a bad system. You know, this is like a bad system. I keep paying myself in advance for something I imagine about myself. And then ultimately life shows that what I've imagined can't stand, and then I run in debt. And then instead of seeing that the debt is caused by a nature inside of me, I look at you and I say, you're the blame for this. You're the one that did it. So we begin to look at life differently. And now I'm going to talk about how we can take these principles of understanding how it is that the reason that I'm carrying around this inability to let go of that relationship in which I got hurt, felt betrayed, in which something I felt was taken from me, the reason I do it isn't because of just that individual, but because I myself had created a dream, and I was borrowing from the dream the sense of myself. And when the dream couldn't be sustained because all things in time must change, rather than seeing I was in a dream, I dream again. And now I'm not going to dream again because the dream keeps the process going, and I want to understand what it means to live without enmity towards other human beings. I don't want to have an enemy. I want to tell you this. You mustn't have an enemy. You mustn't have an enemy. Not one. Not one. And I don't care what he did. I don't care what she said. I don't care. You mustn't have an enemy. And it's possible not to have an enemy when you understand that even those contrarian forces that run into us, that run into our lives, serve a greater purpose that is the natural healing. When we understand how that works, we can begin ourselves to participate in that broader life in which this is taking place. So now we're going to talk about how we can work in the present moment, because we've been talking about the past a little bit. Now we're going to talk about what we can do in the present moment with each other, with our present relationships. And is there anyone in any relationship that doesn't from time to time feel let down by the person they're with? Do you want to go on feeling let down? I mean, no one wants to. You know where it goes. And isn't this true? The more a person seems to let you down, the more sure you are they will. The more sure you are they will, the more certain the letdowns come. The resentments build towards things that haven't happened yet. And soon you create the very breakdown that you feared was coming. How's that for a strange twist inside of us? So here's how we work in the present moment. Here's how we start to actually take part in a different kind of understanding that allows us not only to forgive others, for us, but for this. Because you see, the forgiveness and the healing are simultaneous. To start this process of what should have always been a natural healing. And here's how the natural healing can occur at the moment of the hurt. At the moment of the hurt, here's how the natural healing takes place. But you've got to open up for this. Take a deep breath, because this is going to be even a little bit more difficult for us to understand and swallow. Ready? In our present relationships, whenever we start to feel like, you know, why did he say that? Translation, why am I feeling this pain? Why did she do that? What's going to happen if stress, anger, Every moment in which a person does something that's contrary to our wish, that's contrary to the idea we have about how things are supposed to be. First of all, can you understand it is impossible to forgive any human being that you think has taken you and pulled you down? It is impossible. You can't forgive someone that you think has pulled you down, who's done something to you that denigrates you. You cannot forgive those that you think have denigrated you. How then do we forgive someone who is sitting there and perhaps denigrating us? You ready for the surprise answer? You thank them for showing you your true present level. Inwardly, you realize that what this person has just done is stirred me out of a dream that I had about myself, that I had about him or her, that I had about life in general. Thank you, dream breaker. Thank you, image shatterer. Thank you for showing me, now don't, because I don't want you to get too far ahead. Thank you for showing me what I have yet to been able to see about myself. Love thine enemies. Have you heard the idea? Here it is. You have just helped me not only to forgive you, but to forgive, if you will, the parts of myself that built a me that wasn't really me at all. And now I see it. You've shown me something about myself and I'm grateful. Now, when you hear me talk, when you read things like this, if you're actually there, you think, that's pretty cool. I can't wait to get out and thank someone who insults me. You know, I can't wait for life to collapse so that I can go, oh, thank you. You should already know that that's not going to happen the way you've imagined it now. But now you can know the truth. That in the moment where we start to go back over the person or the condition that betrayed us, we can see that the reason we're feeling that way towards them is because we established them as a bank from which we borrowed our sense of self, and they were never what we established them as being. We established them in our own mind and took from that what we needed to get through it. And it's the same thing now with people who hurt us, with everything. We're sitting in a room, we're having a nice meeting, you're having a meal, someone brings you the wrong dish, whatever the interruption is, in that same moment, that sense of, look, I'll say it again. Can you feel betrayed without feeling as though something was owed to you? Can you feel as though something was owed to you without already having an expectation of what was coming? So when the thing doesn't appear as it's intended, rather than hating the moment or the person, we understand that moment has been a beautiful instant in which I get to see that I have been clinging to something unreal, and I thank you. Thank you. Ah. For showing me something I didn't know about myself. And in that moment, two things happen. Two very beautiful things. First, when we can learn to say a silent thank you to those thoughts or persons that do that. First, I do release them, don't I? You're no longer the source of my conflict. You're actually part of a celestial collaboration. Can you see it? You've actually helped me to see something that I would have never known was true about myself because I was fully identified with it. So first, not conflict, but collaboration. And then more beautiful than collaboration is the reconciliation. Because when I have seen something about myself that I now know can't be true because it is the source of the stress and pain, I don't have to blame myself again. Because you see, first, the debt is exposed with a relationship. Then I run in debt to myself for being someone so stupid who could have lived like that. Now I can let that go. Now I let go and I let go and I let go based on a new understanding of how it's all set up. For what? For my awakening, for my rebirth. Because isn't that what happens? If I thought I was this and then I see I'm not that, and I no longer can sustain and wish to keep what I was alive, not because I certainly didn't intend to be someone who held someone's feet to the fire for 50 years. I had no intention of being that kind of human being. But there it was. I see it. It's done. And guess what? Like the phoenix, a new me, a new understanding is born in that new light. And then in that new light, because of the nature of the way darkness and light works, it is odds on favorite for a while that the same thing will take place. And then you'll get to thank everyone you meet. The guy that tailgates you, you know, the woman who won't serve you when you're the only one standing in line. Whatever it may be, thank you. You've shown me something about myself that I couldn't have seen without you. And in that moment, everything changes across the board. Do we have at least an idea of this possibility? That's the main thing. We get a glimpse of a new possibility. Then it's our work through our interior experience to turn that possibility into the promise of what real life has always held for us. That not only don't we run in debt, but we have no more debtors. Because we're living from a substance awakened within ourselves that is turning the whole thing into what we've always wanted, which is real life.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.